The world has a lot to say. It can be hard to cut through the noise and find great audio when you want it. Clamor makes great audio accessible by organizing everything into 18-second highlights. Clamor gives you a personalized power feed of the best information and entertainment in audio. If you discover something that you love, tap to expand the Clamor into full-length music and podcasts. Best of all, you can share Clamors with friends. You can even make your own Clamors, record from scratch, import, or remix other people's Clamors. Clamor brings you the world's best audio, one bite at a time.
Welcome to chilloverradio.net. Today's show is sponsored by promodj.com, audioboom.com, clamor.com, sbsdesigns.com, Athukar Digital Distribution, Media Services NYC, Open Bar Music, Republic Music, nyc.com, vintagesoulsupply.com, diamondfuse.com, and manhattanscreenprint.com. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Hey guys, before you guys embark into our podcast, the Open Bottle Talk here on Chill Lover Radio, we wanted to go ahead and let you guys know, first and foremost, that this show contains adult, and I do mean strong adult situations, dark humor, and above all, vulgar language. If you're a person who has a weak constitution or any of the things that I stated in this warning, please go ahead and turn this off. No hard feelings. And by the way, Frank, yes, is there anything else you want to throw in there?
If you're Sandy, you might want to leave.
Fair enough. Enjoy. Also, you guys have been warned. All right, guys. I really do appreciate you guys coming in. This is the Open Bottle Talk here on chilloverradio.net. Make sure that while you guys are listening, if you find the show very interesting, head over to obsbeers.com. Follow us on YouTube under the name Open Bottle Society and all that good stuff. Everywhere that you want us on social media is located by the name OBS Beers. My name is Key.
And I'm Frank.
And today on this show, we're going to be doing some top-notch fuckery. We've got some very interesting beers, and they were actually brought to us by a few people that we actually know live on Periscope. Also, at the same time, if you guys ever want to catch us live every Friday night while we're recording this for chilloverradio.net, you guys are able to interact with us on Periscope live. And if you guys are talking to us, if it pertains to what we're talking about, then what we'll do is give you a huge shout out on Periscope and incorporate your question in what we're doing while we're doing the show. Frank, what do you think of that twist?
Yeah, I think that's cool. It kind of keeps people interested as they're watching us go through this podcast.
So right now, if you guys don't know this, our name is OBS Beers on Periscope. You guys can check us out there. Right now, we want to give a huge shout out to everybody in the room watching us live right now on Periscope. So feel free, guys, to talk to us while we're doing the show. And if your question or comment is good, we'll incorporate it in what we're doing. So according to our show, Frank is cool. Thanks, Nate 3444. Also, go fuck your mama. We just wanted to throw that in there because he was being a dick earlier while we were setting up. What do you think of that? He was being a dick, huh?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Okay, so fair enough. All right, guys, we just kind of gave that person a huge shout out. So that's how it's going to work, guys. That's how it's going to work. So, Frank.
Yes, sir.
Thanksgiving just passed.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
I'm not a turkey chef.
You're not a turkey chef.
No, I'm not. Every time I cook a turkey, I screw it up somehow. So I have decided that I will no longer be cooking turkey for Thanksgiving.
What?
No, not going to do it.
Why? What happened? Did the turkey, like, was it, like, burnt? What was that?
No, it wasn't burnt, but I took it out too early, and then I had to put it back in, and then it was dry.
That's what she said. So it just didn't turn out great, huh?
Didn't turn out great. So next year I'll do a brisket.
So that's it. No more.
No more.
No more, huh? No. All right. Iowa Corn 300 says, What about oven bags?
No, no more turkey.
So there's no more umple bags? No, no umple bags?
No.
All right. Was there anything else that you guys ate over that you guys ate that the kids like tore up and shit?
No, not really. They like the dinner rolls. That was their big thing.
That was it?
Yeah, stuff that's not homemade.
Like they didn't like nothing else?
No. Nope.
I'm sorry to hear that, my brother.
That's another reason why I'm kind of against Thanksgiving.
Why?
Because my kids don't eat it.
Well, don't make it for them. Make it for yourself.
That's part of it. I mean, you make enough food to feed an army.
Well, now you know not to cook them shit.
Yeah.
Here's your Pop-Tarts. Here's your grilled cheese.
They'd be happy with that.
There you go. And then you and Molly could have a Cornish hen, like two Cornish hens and all the fixings in one bowl.
Or brisket. Or White
Castle. Or White Castle from Fireman Fritz 65. Thanks for your comment. White Castle's gross. It's pretty gross, right?
No,
So on top of that, my Thanksgiving was pure garbage.
Sorry to hear that.
Yep, I tried to do something really nice and it blew up in my face and it was one huge misunderstanding. So literally, I have not yet, even when this airs, I have not eaten any Thanksgiving dinner at all. I was not invited to anyone's house as a backup. None of us. I'm not saying I'm throwing you one of us, but I'm saying in general.
I didn't find out until like 9 o'clock you hadn't eaten or else I would have invited you over.
Normally, I
ever. Dry turkey.
Every year, I'm always invited to someone's house. Right. Hey, if you're not doing anything, swing by.
Right.
And that didn't happen this year. So I just literally spent my Thanksgiving in the beer room.
Bummer.
Yeah, but I got some editing done.
There you go.
I made some macaroni and cheese and had mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Yep.
So other than that, man, it was pretty interesting. But you know what, though? I don't know about you, but I haven't had any beer in a while. I think it's time.
I agree.
So what exactly are we drinking on today's show? And then what I'll do is while you're telling me, and you get your information out, I'll hold up the beer to everyone on Periscope.
Sure.
And then you move on to the next one. We'll kind of work a little train here.
From Butternuts, and I believe we got this from Steven at the Owl.
Yeah, Steven is the owner and awesome bartender, craft beer lover of Nevada from the East Coast.
Absolutely.
He gave us Butternuts, man. Big shout out to the Owl.
So we got from Butternuts, it's called Moo Thunder. It's a farmhouse ale stout.
Nice.
Also, from the Dudes Brewing Company, we've got Blood Orange Amber.
We want to give a huge shout out to the people from the Dudes who actually was at a beer fest when we were at, who handed this beer to us to let us do this for them. So that was really cool.
From Boulevard Brewing Company, Tank Number 7 Farmhouse Ale.
This comes from one of our loyal family members and fans, Lock and Load.
Mm-hmm.
He sent us a bunch of Boulevard, so we want to give him a huge shout out. Thank you, Lock and Load, on Periscope.
From 101 North Brewing is Stigmata American Red Rye Ale.
We want to give a huge shout out to 101 North Brewing Company. They hooked us up with this right here.
And last but not least, Stochacity. Yeah, I got it right. Stochacity.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Stone Stochacity Project, Your Father Smelt of Elderberries, the medieval style ale brewed with elderberries.
Yep, and I picked this one up myself. So these are some, and also a majority of these items, we've got two bombers. We have one regular 12-ounce bottle. We have a tall can, 12 ounces, and a regular can. And so we are going to go with the Stone Stochacity Project. We're doing that one for dessert.
Yeah.
So I think that one's good. And then which one are we starting out with first?
We're going to start out with Moo Thunder.
All right, let's do that. All right, guys, we'll be right back. We're going to get ourselves all ready, and we'll see you in a few seconds. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. All right, guys, so we are 100% live right now during this recording here on Periscope. Make sure you follow us. We do this every Friday, roughly anywhere between 7:30 p.m. Pacific Mountain Time, or we'll get around about 9:30 Pacific Standard Mountain Time.
Yep.
Pacific Standard Time?
Pacific Time.
Yeah, Pacific Time. Las Vegas Time.
We are in Standard Time now, so it's Pacific Standard Time.
Oh, not Mountain anymore, huh?
No. Mountain is its own time.
Oh, wasn't there ever a Pacific Mountain Time?
No, there's a Pacific Daylight Time.
Okay.
And a Pacific Standard Time.
So I fucked that all up.
Sure.
Okay, so guys, if you guys know where Las Vegas, Nevada is, that's what time we're on at night. You guys can catch us live at OBS Beers on Periscope. So yay, that plug. So what do you got for us, brother?
From Butternuts Beer and Ale, this is called Moo Thunder. It's a farmhouse ale stout, which should be interesting. I'm not seeing an ABV on it.
I believe that one was 5%.
All right, I'll take your word for it. It's brewed by Butternuts Beer and Ale out of Garrettsville, New York.
All right.
Again, this is from our friend Steven at Owl in Las Vegas. Incredible place. If you get a chance, stop by. If you'd like some more information on these guys, it's butternutsbeerandale.com.
Fair enough. You know what? I'll tell you what. Let's just... I don't want us to get shitted on. You want to take a look on your phone real quick
sure.
and find out what the actual ABV is? I'm going to guess 5. Normally when there's, here guys, beer education coming at you. Normally when you see a beer that doesn't have an ABV listed, it's usually 5% or less. That's usually the going rate from what I've learned.
That's Moo Thunder.
Moo Thunder. And it's foaming all over. Fantastic. Guys, you guys can actually literally watch us on Periscope when we fucking spill shit. This board's going to smell great in the morning. So it's a little foamy. Sorry about that. I popped it open. I think it was just because we were shaking it, rolling it around. You know. Now, for a lot of people, now we got somebody that says 5% is weakness. All I know is this, Mr. Iowa Corn.
4.9.
Hey, I'm not too bad with that, guys. Listen, just so you guys know, 5% does not mean it's weak if it tastes great, correct?
Right.
5% will still get you fucked up if you do it fast enough and a lot of it, correct?
Just like 10% isn't awesome just because it's 10%.
Exactly.
It tastes like shit and it's 10%. It still tastes like shit.
Exactly. All right, so go ahead and talk about the aesthetic.
Right now, it's kind of hard to see. I mean, it's the can kind of foamed up pretty well. So it's a stout. The head is pretty spongy. So it's not, doesn't look like your typical stout. They bill it as a farmhouse ale. And usually farmhouse ales are on the sour side, kind of like a saison. So it should be interesting. You look at the head and it's not creamy like a stout. It's more angel foody.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Angel food.
No, go with it.
Angel foodie, like an angel food cake.
Ah, okay. You know, so that's where that spongy comes in. Okay.
So as the head on this starts to dissipate, I can see it's really, really black.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Not as well, you're not that black, so.
Ooh.
And it's got at the bottom of the head, it's got a mocha color, so I'm expecting coffee.
All right.
It's usually what you expect in a stout anyway.
You know what I like about the label? The can? I like the fact that Cal's jumping over the word stout. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a split.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. So there it is. All right, so let's go ahead. Cheers to the smell, brother. A little funky.
A little funky.
It almost smells like spent chocolate milk. A little bit of like a turning point on your chocolate milk a little bit.
Yeah, it's not quite chunky.
Yeah, but you know what?
But turn.
Yeah, a little bit of turn. Now, for a lot of people, that's like, oh, that sounds gross. But in the world of beer, funk is good. The few things you don't want to ever happen is called disilitol. What is it called? Disilitol? I can spell it, but I can't say it. Disilitol. The one that smells like butter.
Disilitol?
Yeah, disilitol.
Yeah,
guys, that you don't want that butter. You don't want it to smell like popcorn.
Sometimes you do want a little butter, but not, you don't want it overwhelming.
Yeah, you don't want butter or the popcorn smell. That means the beer is bad. That means bacteria got in and caused the whole beer to get funked out. So when you get like an armpit funk or something twangy, you're onto something. But do we smell anything as far as stout characteristics?
Yeah, it's malty.
I got chocolate.
Definitely got chocolate.
I got the milk chocolate. I got a little bit of like mocha coffee.
Yeah, faint.
Yeah.
Faint coffee.
But I think it's got that creamy sour hit.
It's got a bitterness in it.
Yeah. And then it's got malty chocolate notes with a touch of like coffee.
I'm excited, actually.
Well, let's do it then. Let's get it.
Cheers.
You know what? I kind of fell in love with Butternuts because they make some really distinctive stuff. And for this particular style, it's creamy. It's chalky on the finish. Okay, you guys hear me now? Chalky on the finish. It's got a drying aspect a little bit, but it keeps your mouth moist. I'm definitely getting some dark Baker's chocolate. Dark. Like spooky 1980s horror movie dark. That's how dark this is. And then I've got a little bit of twang on there with a little bit of earth to it. There's some earthy undertones to this, a little thrush. So, you know what I mean? So, your turn.
I agree with you on the chocolate part. It's definitely like a Baker's chocolate going towards the bitter side.
Right.
To me, I'm not getting creamy. I'm getting washed out at the beginning. And then in the back, I do get that earthy, kind of gritty. Definitely drying. little tiny bit of funk. The funk is there in the smell,
right?
Really not so much in the taste. Let me go in again.
I actually enjoyed this particular stout. Now, this is a very, it's like a good spin on a classic stout. It's got that funk twang, right? But it's a really, really delicious stout. It's got more chocolate notes. So I know, judging by the color that we have here, it has been roasted really well. They use the proper roasted malts to put out that chocolate note for the stout. It's very light. The carbonation alone makes me jealous, because our beers don't really usually put out this much carbonation. But it tingles just right. It's, the mouthfeel is wonderful. This would be like, I'm going to say it. This would be my go-to six-pack. Like, if I ever had to have a six-pack ever, they say, what's your after-work beer?
Right.
I would pick this hands down. This is relaxing. It's not aggressive. It's not overbearing. It's not like, oh, shit, it's out of my private stock.
Right.
This is the beer I would share with friends and family. Like, okay. hey, man, thanks for coming over. Here, have a cold one, bro. And I think being cold, it tastes good. And then warming up, I'm sure it's even more superior.
Yeah. Well,
those notes would come out even better.
Okay. I think for better or for worse, Guinness has kind of set the standard for stouts, especially if you're really just getting into craft beer. Most people have had a Guinness before.
Some people said it's too thick.
Yeah, it's heavy and it's creamy, but I think that's what you expect when you're getting a stout. This does not fit that model. It definitely has the stout characteristic, but for me, I did not find it to be terribly creamy. I thought it was a little too watery at first. But the rest of it, I think, is really good. It's got that balance between chocolate and coffee, the sweetness, and then I like the kind of earthy, just tiny little bit of funk in it.
Fair enough. All right, so let's go ahead and, so we can agree this is really good.
Yeah.
We can agree to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking phenomenal. This is great. We want to thank, what was his name?
Steven.
Is it Steven?
Steven.
I wanted to call him Steven. I just wanted to make sure that's right.
That's right.
And where does he own and work?
He owns Owl in Las Vegas.
Craft beer. I hate to say this. There's another craft beer place, but based upon who he is, it'll be the premier. It is the premier place for Nevada beers.
Yeah, he's focused on Nevada beer.
Yeah, and that means beers from not only
Las
Vegas. Except for, he gets beers no one else can get.
Nope.
How's that?
That's pretty cool.
How's that? So he blessed us with Butternuts, which is a really cool name. And I'm a huge fan of this one now, on top of the other one that we will do down the line. So, all right, Frank, what you got for him?
I'm going to give it a 4.3. I think it's well above average. The more I drank it, the more I liked it. I thought it was a little odd at first, and then I kind of settled into it. So just the balance of it, I think, was really, really good.
I don't mean to cut you off.
Please.
The more that we consume this, right? And there's still some left in the can.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of smoke in there?
Maybe a little.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't me, you know, by myself.
That might be where that tang's coming from.
Okay. Yeah. There's a little smoke to this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm sorry.
That's pretty much it. You cut me off and I'm done.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I was done anyway.
Oh, well, don't make me feel like an ass. Wait, don't treat me like an asshole, Frank.
There you go.
All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead with this particular stout. Knowing Butternuts is from the East Coast, and the fact that we were able to acquire this thanks to Steven, I want to go ahead and just, with everything overall, just because it's different, I'm going to rate it a 4.
Okay.
From just the, even, okay, so there's a thin line between watery and creamy.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I think the best way to describe this to people is people who drink ice cold milk with ice in it.
Okay.
You know, when it gets watery a little bit with the ice in it, I think that would be the best texture that I can profess for this beer. All the way from the ABV, 4.9, 5%. It's delicious. Easygoing six pack, guys. Get out there and get it and try it. What we're going to do is we're going to reset, and we want to say thank you again, Steven. We want to thank the people of Butternuts for making this wonderful beer. We'll see you guys in 2 seconds. All right, guys, I want to say first and foremost, if you guys want to be a full participant on our show, we advise you to head over to Periscope and follow us under obsbeers.com. We want you guys to be a part of this. If you guys enjoy our show, we are trying to make sure that we give you guys full interaction. And I don't know what else to keep saying about that. I think it'd be great for more interaction.
Yep, I agree.
And if your comment is legit, we'll expose you.
Plus, you get to see us more than once a week.
Yeah. you get to see us on Friday and you get to hear us on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think that's great. All right. So, Frank, since we didn't rinse the glasses out, literally, we don't really need to rinse them out.
No.
What's the beer we're
talking about? We're from the Dudes Brewing Company. This is part of their Juice Box series. It's a Blood Orange Amber. It's made in Los Angeles. This is a 16-ounce pounder can. If you want some more information, it's thedudesbrew.com.
Oh, did you know, real quick, did you know our voices don't match how we look? If they really want to know how we look, get over to Periscope, OBS Beers.
And it's 5.5% ABV.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That comment came from Clean Sprite.
Right.
Saying that our voices did not match. You have more of a sultry hood voice, and I have the nicest phone operator voice known to man, but we don't look nothing like what our voices are at all. It's wonderful. Awesome. Yay.
That's great.
All right, now, surprisingly, this particular beer is actually darker than what I was expecting, believe it or not.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be a little more red.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy the name Juice Box Series. Like, the dudes make some really incredible stuff, but there is an orange tint to it, kind of chocolate orange.
Well, it says it's a blood orange, and, you know, blood orange is real, real deep, deep, deep red.
It's deep red, but it looks like, just from sitting from afar, those chocolate-covered oranges.
Yeah, okay.
That candy, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah, so that's this one, I'm guessing. So, I don't know. What do you want to talk about before we smell it?
Nothing. Let's do it. All
right, let's smell it. Fuck it. You just want to dive right in.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, brother. Mm. Man, everything the dudes fucking make are incredible. I haven't had one bad beer from this camp. Or, as long as we've been recording their stuff on obsbeers.com,
yeah.
I haven't found a weak beer yet. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to say what a weak beer is. That's a beer that's less than all the other shit you've had. This bouquet is stupidly wonderful.
Good.
It smells like a beer, right? But you've got orange, the pill, the plant. I would also say there's tropical notes sitting in here.
Yeah.
A little bit of pineapple, a little bit of lemon, lime, a little bit of grapefruit, a little papaya, like whatever fucking fruit we can think of. It's a tropical smell to this, but it does smell like an orange.
We got a lot of caramel.
Really?
Almost bordering on chocolate.
I can also see that as well. I can see
like you threw a little ganache into your caramel.
Yeah, you're right. So for those that are going to smell this beer, you're going to get one or two things. You're going to get the savory part of an orange, and you are literally going to get some caramel notes and some chocolate notes, and you're not wrong with either description. It's just, I'm smelling one thing, Frank's smelling it, and then I'm like, you're right, but that's the cool part about beer. I think this is really interesting. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. I need to quit moving the soundboard.
Oh, yeah.
Again, you heard me say it earlier. I described the look as what type of candy?
Yeah, chocolate-covered oranges.
Yes. You know who else makes a really good chocolate orange? Tootsie Rolls. They make that fruit series, and there's an orange candy that they have. What's the name of that candy? What was the name of that candy that is? It's a chocolate ball, and you break it open, and it looks like orange wedges, and it's chocolate orange. Like, what is that thing called?
Oh, yeah.
That's what...
I know what you're talking about.
That's what this fucking tastes like. It tastes like...
comes in a box.
Yes.
Yeah.
Orange. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, so I'm going to let Frank describe it, and then I'm going to go in full chef mode on this. So...
Really, really creamy. Super, super orangey. If you've ever had a blood orange before, it tastes exactly like a blood orange, but also with chocolate. It's odd. It really, really is. I don't think I've ever truly had a chocolate-covered orange, like a fresh orange. I've had the candy, but never a fresh orange. But in addition to the meat of the orange, there's also the peel and the pith. I can taste the bitterness from it. And I think that bitterness pairs really, really well with the sweetness of this chocolate flavor. It's fantastic.
Okay, guys. So what I'm going to do for you guys, I'm gonna break this down in food terms, okay? So what you guys are indulging in is a very unique beer. Not only is it fluffy, but it's like, and it says on the can, orange whip. So I'm gonna explain that. So it's a fluffy, it's got the pith, the skin, the innards of an orange, whip that all up, right? It's very aggressive on the orange.
Mm.
And how it's put inside this particular beer, you're tasting cocoa or chocolate.
Right.
Really, really nice airy chocolate, almost like a malted malted ice cream almost ordeal. And then it's topped off with a little bit of vanilla because I'm tasting vanilla bean. Yeah. So that's where that earth is coming in for me, that vanilla bean. Altogether, this would be classified as a dessert beer. It's creamy. It's orange. You bite the whole fucking orange covered in chocolate and then you sprinkle some goddamn vanilla bean on that bitch and you're fucking just so happy that this is a beer that's almost borderlining on a dessert beer.
Chocolate covered creamsicle, perhaps?
Yes, that too. Let's go with that too. Yes. No, it's creamy. It's, I don't know if you ever had Dole Whip, which is like a pineapple drink thing. It's with icy. You ever had Dole Whip the icy?
No.
Okay. It's kind of, you know, take that back. Not like Dole Whip.
Okay.
Orange Julius.
Okay. Yes.
It's an orange Julius with chocolate in it.
Okay.
It would have dropped some goddamn vanilla drops in it. And now, if you don't drink beer, you can make this with an orange Julius, chocolate syrup, or Nestle Quick's cocoa powder, and some vanilla. You will literally have this beer.
Yeah.
Without the beer in it, guys. This is a really interesting beer. Man, hands down. Frank, what you got? It's delicious.
It is delicious.
Fuck.
You know what? I'm going to go 4.6 on it.
Okay.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's one of a kind. It's odd. It's just, it's so odd. That chocolate and the blood orange, and blood oranges are usually a little on the sour side.
Yeah.
But it pairs so well and it's so creamy. But I agree. I think it's a dessert beer. I don't know if I could drink more than two of them.
Really? Do you think you'd be burned out on the sweetness?
Yeah, I think I might get a little burned out on the sweetness.
So you would go with just one and done for the night and just say, you know what? I'll have another one tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, I'd probably switch it up. I probably would want, you know what? After having this, I would want a palate rec and IPA.
Just to get rid of that, huh?
No, just to...
Oh, to balance out the sweet.
To balance out the sweet, to gotcha. Go with something okay. extra bitter.
All right. Just to let you guys know, thanks to E-Rod Isbach said, no artificial flavors. No, there are no artificial flavors with this at all. We appreciate your comment. No, this is all natural, guys. They've done a number on this particular beer. There's no adjuncts in this. These guys are, you're able to get this beer only in California and some parts of Nevada. I believe they might have reached to Arizona.
Our friend at the Owl just got into a deal with dudes. He's going to start carrying their beer.
Oh, look at that, guys. More reviews. OBSBeers.com. All right, so I guess it's my turn to rate it, huh?
Sure.
All right, I'm going with a high grade on this. It's very unique, and as I said earlier, there hasn't been something I have not experienced from the dudes that I have not disliked. Hands down, this particular beer is going to get a 4.9.
Nice.
I almost want a 5, but to be honest with you, you're probably right. I think I'd probably get burnt out after a while. I'd go a little more than you than just the two beers, but I think for the night, I'd be like, you know what? I need something different.
You know what? The thought reminds me of, you've had Sam Smith's organic chocolate stout,
mm-hmm.
and it's fantastic, right? The first few sips are fantastic, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God. More chocolate.
I know.
Because it's so damn chocolatey. I think...
It's stupid balanced. I can't... Yeah. Okay, here's...
But I think this would get to me the same way, but...
Right.
But it would take a little bit more.
All right. One thing that we can give you guys before we get out of here on this particular beer is the more you drink it, nothing changes.
No.
I like to call them steady beers. So no matter how many you have, you're still getting orange and chocolate. And I will gladly say this live on Periscope right now and here on the show. This can is going on the shelf.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm keeping this because someone goes, hey, what's a good blood orange beer? We'll be able to pull this out and show them. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get ready for the next beer. I'm really excited about the next beer, actually. So we'll be right back in 2 seconds.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi,
what's up, buddy?
How are you?
You know me. I'm taking a fresh dump. I'm always good.
Nice. Did you upper deck?
You know what? I did that last week. You know what goes great with Upper Deckin'?
What's that?
OBSBeers.com.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, after doing some foul shit at a party, what better way to not look like you've done something bad than to check out OBSBeers.com? I mean, thousands upon beer reviews, man. They're putting up shit all the goddamn time.
Because if you look at that website and you pick yourself out a good craft beer, nobody's going to think you're Upper Deckin' at a party.
Fuck yeah. Yo, check out OBSBeers.com to cover up your Upper Deckin'.
Welcome back.
Hi, welcome back to the show.
Okay, first off, you don't have to yell at them.
I can do what I want.
This is true. My name is Key.
And I'm Frank.
No, you already said that.
Oh, I did.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Third base.
Oh, shit. Upper deck that shit.
Right. So, what are we drinking now, Key?
Oh, well, I get to do it? Okay. Okay, okay. Actually, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to let my friend Roscoe do it.
Sure.
Have you met Roscoe before?
Yeah, once or twice.
All right, fair enough. Roscoe, are you here, my good sir? Yeah, I'm here. Would you mind reading this beer? And then I don't mind letting everybody know where this beer came from. All right, let me get that. I mean, it ain't no Cavassier, but that's all right with me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, all the pretty birds with dirty wings. Right now, we're going to be doing this is a Kansas City Boulevard Brewing Company, Tank 7, Farmhouse Ale. Do you mind telling me what the fuck a farmhouse ale is?
Usually farmhouse ale is something a little thicker, a little chewier, and it more often than not is sour.
Oh, fair enough. You know what you don't want sour? Your vaginas. Now, on the back here, Keys pointed out this is 8.5% alcohol by volume.
Yeah.
All right, and the IBUs are 38.
There you go, Roscoe. You do that well. Yikes. Oscar.
Sorry about that. It's cold in them streets.
It sure is.
And sometimes I forget my fur coat.
Yeah.
Roscoe, go ahead. Go smoke your weed. Go ahead over there. All right. So we want to say thank you to Lock and Load.
Yeah.
Lock and Load provided this beer, and I want to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and crack this open.
Where are these guys out of?
They are from Kansas City, Missouri. And let's see, on the back, you can also check these guys out at, and I know Roscoe left it out, but boulevard.com.
There we go.
There it is. And let's see here, 38 IBUs. Now, I wonder why they put that in there. I mean, granted, IBUs are great if it was an IPA.
Right.
You know, that lets us know exactly where that is, so.
Well, I think some people do want to know what the IBUs are, and 38 is going to be a, I would say, moderate bitterness.
Absolutely. Right. Get a little misty-eyed when Roscoe shows up.
Yeah.
He was a good guy. All right, guys. So the cool thing is it's got a nice farmhouse ale color to it. Nice, honey. Golden color. It might be mistaken. Based upon just the head alone, you might would think that this would be an IPA and all that good stuff, but it is not. So again, we're both expecting this to be sour. But you know what? I don't want to expect it to be sour. I want it to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And Boulevard Brewing Company is one of the most premier beer, breweries out there nationwide. Their beers are highly traded.
Yep.
Or highly high recognition to other beers. I've seen Boulevard be traded for some good stuff from Russian River, Belgian Beaver, you know, places like that.
Yep.
So I'm very honored and happy again. Thank you, Lock and Load, who watches us religiously on Periscope. So cheers to you, my brother. And let's go ahead and get down to the smell. Cheers to the smell. I need to quit moving this goddamn soundboard.
Mm.
Oh, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't mean to be all loud in your ear. Funky.
Yeah,
funky. Take me to funky town. I'm just saying, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so funky. It stank.
Mm.
It stank so good. I guess if I were to be a little more serious about it, it's got a Belgian yeast smell to it.
Yeah.
It's got that nice, good, aggressive yeast. It's yeast. You smell the animal in this motherfucking beer. You smell the animal. It does smell like a creamy beer if we were to put a texture on it, but you smelled the creature.
Yeah, agreed. It's really, really funky. Smells sour as hell. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's get down to it, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, just want to let you guys know we are not rushing. We like to take our time. Oh, Frank, I'm holding Frank right now to let him know that this beer is phenomenally Belgian yeast. Guys, this has Belgian yeast written all throughout this beer. It doesn't say anything about Belgian yeast in here, but I'm going to let you guys know right now, it is Belgian yeast. It's almost like a German Hefeweizen damn near. Like, seriously, guys, we want to welcome everybody for coming in on our Periscope right now. We want to say hello to each and every one of you guys while we're doing this recording. But I am a huge fan of anything used or remotely going towards Belgium yeast. I think it's one of the best yeast out there because you can produce high amounts of ABV.
Yeah.
Even though this particular beer is 8.5%. Now, here's the thing, though. The IBUs are 38, right? That's low. But it's a little malty. It's got a bready biscuit thing going on. It's a little malty, a little sweet. But it's Belgium yeast all the way. I think if you were to understand what farmhouses are, I hate to say this, this one's not giving me that farmhouse style I'm used to. It is a farmhouse style,
right,
but they're using Belgian yeast in this.
Yeah.
Or maybe some sort of, because there's cloves in here, banana esters. It tastes like it's got some citrus notes. And regardless of all what I've said, I'm still able to peel out the Belgian yeast. Even if they're not using it, I'm still tasting it. I mean, I can keep going on and on about it. It's phenomenal, but it's a little perplexing for the style.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add.
Sorry about that, man.
To be honest, I think you've covered all the bases.
I'm so sorry.
It's got some tropical notes and it's got some banana notes and there's spice to it and it's yeasty and bready and chewy and sweet and bitter. It's really good.
Absolutely. Again, lock and load, this was phenomenal. Cool thing on this bottle was we got this about a month ago from the airing of this tape.
Yeah.
But it says here, there's an expiration date on here. You can actually do this for a year.
Wow.
I guess it was bottled in April, but it says here, April 24th, 2017. So I'm guessing a year you can stand on this.
Right.
With proper temperature care, you can probably squeeze another 2 years out of this.
Right.
You know, I would say 2018 would be great. Hell, if you took very good care of it, based upon just the yeast that I'm tasting and how aggressive the whole profile is, I'd say about 2019. I'd say 3 years is your maximum.
Okay.
So, all right, so let's get down to the grade. Mm-hmm. Frank, what do you got?
I'd give it a 4.3. Well above average. Not the sour that I thought it was going to be. Still funky, but not sour. Like the taste, I could definitely knock back a few of these.
Absolutely. Really good. A little grown man style. Even though it's an 8.5, there's one thing I left out. Even though it has that Belgian yeast and you get that clove, the spice,
right,
but there's a lot of grapefruit pill going on here, which is drying, which heightens the 8.5. It
right.
tastes boozy as shit, but it's not that boozy, in my opinion. I'm just saying that drying aspect and that tannins and the grapefruit kick in it, just the pill, makes the beer alcohol content a little more aggressive than it should.
Okay.
And I find that interesting. For me, guys, I'm going to do a 4.5. Hell yeah, it's above average. Boulevard makes some of the most sickest premier beers out there. If I were you, I would go get some. And if you guys are watching us live on Periscope, you were always able to show you guys the labels. The label on here is pretty classic. It's, I'd say mosaic a little bit. And it's like old school, old movie timey advertisement.
Yeah.
Like back when Betty Boop was hollering. So that's always a good thing. And so we always show that our items on Periscope. So make sure you guys follow us there. Other than that, man, I'm pretty happy with this. Thanks, Lock and Load.
Number?
Oh, I gave it a 4.5.
You did, okay.
Yeah, I gave it a 4.5. It's about time you started acting like you're on the show. Fair enough, guys. We're going to move on to the next beer. I'm really excited about the next one because Lord knows I love a good fucking religious bad joke. All right, guys, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the world, it is about time for us to get down with the next beer. Now, I'm going to give you guys a disclaimer at this point, even though we have a disclaimer at the beginning of the show. If you are someone who is fully religious or no one who is religious and you're listening to the show with them, it's about to get fucked up because I will not hold back on my religious jokes on this beer. Now, all I know is this, it's about to go down.
About to go down.
It's about to go down. Let's do it.
From 101 North Brewing, this is the limited release Stigmata American Red Ale.
So does anyone know what Stigmata is? Stigmata is the phenomenon of what people would have experienced, what Jesus experienced when he got tacked on the cross.
Right.
People's hands bleed and their feet bleed.
Right.
And their crown will, you know, bleed as well. And so at this point,
And in the sign.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we can say is, what's the one thing you would never let Jesus hold? Is your chains. He would lose it. Continue.
I never heard that before. It's a 6.9% ABV. If you want some more information on these guys, ask Siri or Google to tell you about 101 North Brewing. Or you can look at 101northbeer.com.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Now,
or ask Siri or Google.
To be honest with you, Frank literally rotated the shit out of this beer, and if I crack it open, it's going to be a big mess. Now, you know what else is a big mess? What's the one thing you should never let Jesus do with little kids?
Hold their change?
No. Play peekaboo. He be cheating. He be cheating. Oh, you know what? Here's a real fucked up one. What was the last words Jesus said on the cross?
No idea.
Because remember, he got stabbed by the spear. Right. Yeah, they kind of stuck that in him. I know, right, guys? This is a real fucked up. Hey, we give a disclaimer.
Right.
So I told you I'm going to keep going, right? I mean, don't get me started. Like, I definitely figured out why Jesus and the Easter Bunny roll together. So, you know what I mean? So, you know, heaven help us if we get striked down. But then again, whatever. So here we go, guys. So some of the Stigmata, we'll actually show you the label here on Periscope, but I'll let Frank describe it to you. If you're, like, again, if you guys are religious, sucks to be you at this point, because everyone's getting attacked like South Park on your face. So here's the label we're showing on Periscope right here. Hands up for Harambe. Normally we say dicks out, but hands out for Harambe. Frank, describe what you see on their label.
So it pours deep red. I would not say it's color of the blood of Christ.
But I'd say it'd be the rust on the nails they used.
Mayhaps.
God, we're going to get fired too.
Head's holding up pretty well. In the glass, it's deep, deep, deep red.
You know what? Smith and Weston Gurley on Periscope said, tits out for Jesus.
Awesome.
Absolutely. His tits were. Is it me, or is it every crucifix we've ever seen in life? Jesus Christ is one sexy motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
He is greased up, oiled, and with a six pack.
Sure.
How are you hungry, feeding the poor, and you're giving, and how you got a sexy six pack and a well defined chest?
Probably because people back then walked everywhere.
Yeah, but that's walking. That means his legs should have been gadoosh.
Yeah.
But how you have a sexy guy? Why is Jesus so hot? You know, people, they, you know, I can't wait till he comes back. I'll suck his dick.
Right.
I'm saying, dick's out for Jesus. All right, guys, but he's right. Deep. Deep blood red, more of a rust color.
Yeah.
The head is actually almost like, let's get real gross with it. You ever get a cut on your arm?
Yeah.
You ever got a cut? You ever use hydrogen peroxide?
Sure.
You remember how this foams up?
Yeah.
That's the color we're getting here.
I was thinking more like pancakes just starting to cook instead of a festering wound.
You know what? Okay. That's even better. Ladies and gentlemen, we do apologize, but thank you, chilloverradio.net, for allowing us to talk about Jesus. If you want to check out our facts, we'll give up the facts when you need them. All right, guys, so we're going to get down to the smell. Let's smell this Stigmata.
Almost drank it. It was at my lips. Almost.
Okay, a couple of things, right? It smells rustic. And it smells metallic. Now, this is what I do with an American red ale or an amber. It has a metallic hit to it. It smells like iron. There's a good thing. What if they actually tacked him to an iron cross? Do you think he would have stayed up there a little bit longer?
No,
not at all. Just wanted to make sure. But yeah, there's a little metallic hit to this. It smells creamy.
Mm.
And it smells floral.
I didn't get the floral.
I get a little floral to it. It almost smells like the thorns of Christ a little bit. Mm-hmm. Little thorns of Christ. Guys, it's going to get worse. You might want to turn it off now. No, seriously, guys, this particular beer does have a earth tone to it, a little metallic hint for an amber red. Even though it says on the bottle, limited release. And I'm trying to understand why. Is it? I think it's probably because it's controversial.
Could be.
Yeah, I think just, you know, they ran with Stigmata, American Red Rye Ale. Do you smell rye? I don't smell the rye.
I'm not smelling it.
I'm guessing, literally, this label is controversial, and that's why it's a limited release. I really do. Like, what religious nut would go around going, oh my God, I gotta drink me some Stigmata?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So I'm guessing that they did this just because they could.
Okay.
All right, so let's get down to the taste. This time, try to put it to your nose. If this had any other taste, I would say it tastes like Jesus turned. Like it tastes turnt, but it's rye. It's dry like the bread. I think it tastes like a Reuben minus the meat
and the sauerkraut, and the cheese, and the Russian dressing.
No, just take the meat out.
It tastes like fucking rye bread, is what you're trying to say.
It's not. It's a rye beer, metallic. It's a little rough. It's a little rough around the edges, you know. Hey, when you crucify your savior, hey, it's a little rough around the edges. You know, that's why they got his hands and feet. You know, I know why they tagged his foot, both his feet together. They ran out of nails. Because, mind you, he was tacked up with other motherfuckers.
Right.
And they just ran out. They're like, just make it work, bitch.
Right.
Union rules. This beer is a little wonky.
Okay.
I would say this is a little wonky. It's rye nonetheless. It's metallic. It's got a little sour twinge to it, but I think this is one of those beers that you have to literally love if you love the brewery.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for me, it's got a maltiness to it. It's not overly sweet. I think the rye overshadows it.
Yeah.
With the spiciness and the sourness. It actually reminds me more of sourdough than
yes.
rye.
Yes. It's got that earth, that doughy sour hit. It's sour, guys. Well, not saying that it's a sour. It's just that the yeast and the malt are working together, and it's producing this sort of ascorbic acid hit. Now, we don't know if this is a way of them. I think they're poking fun at the stigmata shit.
Probably.
I really do. I think their label's quirky, and if they can poke at it, so can we. There's nothing funny about you bleeding out of your hands or your feet. I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's anything really cool about a lady bleeding either.
Right.
Or like if you get raped on SVU season 3 and had to put a diaper back there and you're telling Marisha Hargitay they don't make water hot enough. I just think that it is what it is.
Right.
I just think they're poking, like, okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go first with the rating. Can I go first?
Please.
I'm giving this, I hate to say this, and we did a really phenomenal job on their heroin. Their heroin beer that they did with the lady, it looks like Jean Grey a little bit. This is probably, I'm kind of glad we've done this special release, this limited release. I'm going to go with I swear to you, a 2.5. I think this is, I'm going to say this would be like a miracle trial and error. I think they came out with something interesting.
Yeah.
I think this is a 100% acquired taste. This isn't like, okay, you know, that can grow on me. You literally have to like rye beers and like every aspect of all rye beers.
Right.
A 2.5 for me. And the only reason why that 0.5 is there is the label is poking fun at religion.
Okay.
And that's why I did it on this segment. You know, we're not here, another disclaimer, guys. We're not here to poke at anyone's religion. Your faith is your faith, but we're just poking fun at it along with this company. I don't give a shit what they say. I hate to say it like this, but this is, I'm kind of glad we did this instead of furthering other beers that they have.
Yeah.
I think this one is below grade.
Okay.
In my opinion, it's just off putting.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 3. I think it's average. I do like the rye, but I'd like it to be a little bit more balanced.
That's the word, sorry.
Just to catch a hint of the spice of the rye plus the malt, because to me, a red is always very malty and very sweet. But the rye, I think, overpowers it and makes it a little bit too spicy, a little bit too sour.
Right.
At least for the style of what I was expecting. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Would I rush out to get it? Probably not.
True. Now, what we can say is 101 North Brewing Company, I understand that this wasn't a savory beer review, but this is just our opinion based upon this one particular beer. Guys, we want you to go out there, even if we don't enjoy the beer, even if we said the beer was shitty. And no, this is not a shitty beer. It's just not high marks based upon our experience. This is a very unique beer. You're going to get refreshed. You're going to enjoy yourself if you just enjoy beer. It's just not making high marks based upon others.
Yeah.
Go out and try this Stigmata. It's a limited release, so if you guys can get it, get it. And then let us know how you guys feel. Email us, key@obsbeers.com.
Or Frank at obsbeers.com.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next beer. We really do appreciate this. Guys, over at 101 North, guys, keep trucking, man. Keep making these beers, and we'll keep knocking them back. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our last beer on this roller coaster ride. I want to thank you, Frank, for hanging out with me always, time and time again.
You bet.
All right, guys. So Frank is about to do something I picked on the show, and we're using this for dessert. This is our final beer of our show. Frank, what do we got?
This is from Stone. It's called Stochasticity. I think I got that right.
Right.
It's the Stochasticity Project. This one is called Your Father Smelt of Elderberries.
Elderberries.
It's a medieval style ale brewed with elderberries.
Elderberries.
If you'd like some more information on it, stochasti.com.
How do you spell it?
Yeah, I probably should spell that. Stochasticity.
Absolutely.
Let's see. What other information can I give you?
They're from Escondido, California. Escondido,
California. This is 10.3% ABV.
I'm sorry?
10.3.
I didn't know there was an A. I didn't know it was that high.
10.3.
Holy shit. All right. Here we go. Well, you first, buddy. You first, bud. Oh, yes. That medieval color is dark brown.
Now, do you get the reference of your father smelt of elderberries?
I was thinking like your father smells like an old person.
No.
Okay, so what do we got?
It's from a Monty Python movie called Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
That's right. When
King Arthur and his knights go to attack the French castle.
Yep.
They're getting jeered and teased by the French soldiers. And the French soldier says, I fart in your general direction. Your father smelt of elderberries and your mother was a hamster.
Now I know where I get it. Guys, fun fact, beer history. Stone loves Monty Python. So there it is. We've actually showed the label. Guys, the label looks like it's actually like a tree branch with berries on it. Like a whole bunch of them, like no leaves.
Probably elderberries.
Yep, the elderberries. And it's got the gargoyle's face on. Now here's a little history or fun fact for you guys. The gargoyle for Stone Brewery has no name. And the gargoyle, for a lot of people, believe it's an evil item, right?
Right.
But technically, gargoyles are for good luck and protection. And people think, yeah, they're warned. That's why you put them on castles. You put them on your home. They're not. Gargoyles are not for the devil. Most people think that's the devil.
Right.
Wrong. Gargoyles are for protection. They're stone creatures. They're fucking, you ain't getting through that unless you got a jackhammer. Uh-huh. Little jackhammer action.
Right.
And you basically find their soft spot, which is their buttholes. I fought a couple of gargoyles back in my day. Oh, by the way, Frank?
Yes.
Your father smells of elderberries.
And your mother was a hamster.
I love hamsters. All right, guys. Cheers to the smell. Here we go. All right, Frank, what you got?
Sweet, little funky, malty, little on the sour side. Probably, I don't think I've ever had an elderberry, but I have a feeling it's probably a sweet and sour kind of fruit because it's probably a little tiny berry.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. It is a very tiny berry. More and more people in the brewing industry start using elderberry a lot. You'll find elderberries used in ciders.
Okay.
Which actually turns out, or actually, no, ciders use elder flower.
Right.
Breweries use the berry.
Right.
So, it's a very commonly used item. Another fact, thanks to JJ Puerto Rican on Periscope right now, said not only gargoyles are good luck, they were used on cathedrals for protection. So thank you very much, JJ Puerto Rican. He resides in some part of California. We don't know where. I'm pretty sure there's gargoyles on his property. All right, so guys, for me, for the smell, Frank pretty much nailed it. I smell a little more, sort of more of a fruit floral, kind of like a, if you throw in a little bit of prune juice,
right,
like a fruit cocktail.
Okay.
Like a little fruit cocktail syrup with a little bit of prune juice, because it is a dark beer.
Right.
But that's about it. You pretty much know that, my brother.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Cheers to the taste. Boozy.
Yeah.
Earthy. More of an IPA plantish texture. There's like a blueberry, raspberry, a berry, some sort. If elderberries can be picked out of here, I think it's being overtaken by the booze. The darkness of this beer, especially if it's going to be a medieval style, I'm guessing it's a Belgian style.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're doing your little bit of research on
which I don't like to do.
But we got to figure this out, guys. This is a malted beverage. This thing is boozy. It's got a lot of malt profiles going on. It's not that sweet. It's sweet, but that booze is burning, guys. This is a boozy fucking goddamn beer. Okay, you guys got to understand that. But overall, there's this sort of like blueberry, raspberry pill going on. Like the skin of every berry, you know, with some green earth to it. It's earthy, gritty. And if it's a medieval style ale, it's got to be Belgium. It has to be Belgium. I mean, the ABV is ridiculous. And it says right here, it's got peated and flaked oats. I guess you could taste the oats in this. And for this ABV, it's 10.3%. And it's boozy as shit. Frank, help me figure figure this out. This is, it's, you know what? Again, Stone does one or two things. Stone, you get tired of them because they flood the market.
Right.
Or you're impressed by every now and again, they fucking always go back to their roots of what Stone is.
Right.
Aggressive, fuck you, pansy. You drink this shit. I don't care if you think it's expensive. Drink this shit.
Right.
It's very fresh tasting. It's aggressive. It's earthy. It's got tropical notes. And then it's boozy, 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 boozy. Frank, help me out.
Yeah, I think the booziness to me is probably paramount. It's the top of the food chain here. It's boozy. It's smoky.
Oh, there it is. Smoky. Yeah, smoky.
Fruity. Lots of dark fruit and caramel. But also, I think I agree with Keith saying it's got an IPA-ish flavor to it. I mean, that's what Stone is really known for. It really, to me, reminds me of a blend of a Stone IPA and Arrogant Bastard.
Yes.
Southern Charred.
Southern Charred. But the part that's puzzling me is this, the elderberry. It's putting this unique, soft, subtle fruit texture to it.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the flavoring. Fruit texture. Like, you know when you ever had like a peach smoothie, you cut peaches up and you throw it right in? That sort of fruit texture.
Yeah.
It's got a texture to this. And guys, normally when we talk about textures on beers, we're talking about creamy, watery, milky, whatever. This actually has some sort of like kicks and bumps and hairs. This elderberry pretty much has made this beer pretty unique. It's got a prune thing going on, a fig thing going on. It's perplexing. And that's what the problem is. Yeah. So we would definitely classify this as an uber complex beer. See, complexity, we can break it down and agree. The more we keep drinking it, the less boozy it becomes. But then you're like, okay, that's a new fruit flavor. Okay, that's a new malt profile. Okay, this malt is great. Okay, I'm tasting this. A little bit of rye, a little bit of, you know, it's so all over the place in a line.
Mm.
It's fucking phenomenal. I'm glad we saved this for last.
Okay.
All right, Frank, what do you got on that score, brother?
Let's see. I'm going to go 4 or 5. I think it's well above average. It's interesting. It's complex. There's lots of layers to it. As high as I'm rating it, I don't know if I could get through more than one of these bombers.
Oh yeah, this is a palate wrecker.
It's a Stone. Stone right. is palate wrecking through and through.
Not for pansies.
No, it's definitely not for pansies. And I think that it's very, very interesting beer.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so for me, guys, I'm going to go to 4 or 5 as well. The fact that I now know what the label is, the Monty Python reference, love that. I'm very impressed with, I kind of like Stone's higher end beers. I do. Their stuff you buy in the variety pack is great. But this higher end shit, that the single larity, bottle buying, bomber shit, I enjoy that. That's where it's at.
Well, we've talked about this before, and I think there are brewers out there that are successful enough that they can have standards like the Stone IPA and even the Enjoy By or the Drink By, whatever the fuck
right.
it is. Even then, that's like their mainstay. It's the go-to, and that's what's paying their bills. And it pays their bills enough that they're able to do stuff like
the statutory rate project.
Right.
That's the word. So statutory rate.
Or being able to spin off Arrogant Bastard or putting something out like Southern Charred.
Oh yeah, that's phenomenal. And that's where it's at for us. Yeah. As far as our lineage in this beer game, we like that spin-off shit. And this is just, I'm kind of a loss for words, and unfortunately, I've described how I felt about this beer, not only through the smell and the taste. I really don't need to put it in a grade. So there it is, guys. So we're going to go ahead and get you guys out of here. We're going to close it up. Frank, I think we did really good tonight.
Sure.
I think this is, again, we want to thank everybody, man. This is a phenomenal show. We're going to keep it pushing. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now at the end of the show. We'll go ahead and do our fancy, what is it called? Spoiled Brett sort of plugins at the end. We'll go ahead and we want to thank Trisha Burns 512 from West Virginia for stopping in.
Thanks for coming.
Guys, little do you guys know that we are filming our raw uncut podcasting every Friday on Periscope. And we always like to give shout outs and, you know, interact with our fans if it works with what we're doing. We want to give a huge shout out to everybody who is watching us right now. live on Periscope while we were doing this for this to air later on, you know, dumbed down, edited, chopped out a bunch of shit. You know, my dictionary's really bleeped out on the show. So if you guys are new to our show, the one thing we do is we take the five beers. What?
I just thought of a question.
Okay, good, good. That sucking dick is hard, but the bills gotta get paid. So what we do is we take the five beers and we ask each other random questions, no matter how fucked up they are, about our beer selections. And some of them can be good and some of them can be bad. But overall, these five beers that we've done on the show, we like to put ourselves in some deep scenarios. It's more fun when there's X amount of people here.
Yeah.
But we make it work with just us two. So here we go. Cheers to the questions, two apiece. Frank, would you like to start? Because I got something for you. Now, mind you, normally if it's a really phenomenal beer, we take that out. Today is not that day. We're going to keep all of them. Yep, all a fair game. What you got?
Let's see. Key, when you're in the process of teabagging somebody.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love teabagging people.
Which of these beers would you like to be drinking while teabagging?
Are you kidding me?
No.
I do the Tank 7.
Okay.
Because it's dirty, it's earthy, it's got that grit, just like my balls after a 5K run. Feel you, boy. All right, Frank, I got one for you. You're like this, right?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
If you had a choice to create something beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to make a drink.
Mm-hmm.
What are the two beers you're going to use to mix together with? And what would you call it?
Wow. So that's a really good question.
So if you were to take the two of these beers,
yeah,
pour it together, what would you call it? And why? All one question. All one question, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I would go for the Blood Orange Amber from the Dudes.
Okay.
And the Stochasticity, your father smelled of elderberries.
Really? Why is that?
I would put them together.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're putting it together now.
Yeah, okay. Put it together for you because we had a little bit left. Okay, just want to make sure because, you know, we got to make it work. I'm going to taste yours. Hold on.
And it would be your bleeding father smelled of elderberries.
Your bleeding father smelled of elderberries.
Bleeding father
smelled. And ladies and gentlemen, we literally, if you were watching us on Periscope, I poured a little bit of the blood orange in his, your father smells of elderberry. And it tastes so good. I tasted it already. But I'm going to give it back to this gentleman. That's his stuff. All right. So it's your turn, buddy.
All right.
God, this show sucks.
Let's see.
Because I got a great one for you, dude.
One of these you can only have one more time.
One more time.
One more time. You'll never get it again.
Oh, shit. I'm going with your father smells of elderberries.
Okay.
I think it actually is a limited release.
Right.
And I don't think they're ever going to go back to this particular one because there's like two more we're missing.
Right.
I'd go back to this one. It's a unique enough beer and over complex that I would miss it. And I'd be like, one more. Just one more. All right. Are you ready, Frank?
Right.
If you knew we were getting canceled and in order to save the show, you had to do a butt chug with one of these beers, which one would you butt chug?
If I had to do a butt chug in one of
And I mean, beers. Like, you got to flip upside down. We hook the pipe in you, and we're pouring this beer in you. Which would be the beer to save the show or a butt chug?
I would go with the Stigmata.
You go with the Stigmata. Hallelujah.
Because I wouldn't be drinking it.
So. You wouldn't have to be drinking
it. out of all of them, it wasn't my favorite.
So. We want to give a huge shout out to Chamberlain 668 on Periscope. He's like Stigmata. He knew for a butt chug you'd pick Stigmata.
Yeah, why not?
Nice. I think you got one more on your boy.
No, I got one.
No, that was it?
Yeah, that's it. Question time's over, ladies and gentlemen.
Question time's over?
Question time's over.
Oh, man. All right.
Thank you for being here. We really, really enjoy doing this podcast week after week. Thank you for coming. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Chilloverradio.net. We love you guys. Thank you for putting up with our shit.
Oh, man. Thank God. We want to give a huge shout out to the guys who do the editing on the show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my God. Chill told me one time in his Puerto Rican voice, he was like, hey, yo. And we know right now for a fact the guys in the production room are cracking the fuck up. Guys, make sure you guys check us out on obsbeers.com.
One more shout out before we get out of here, though. One more time, we want to give a shout out to Steven from Al in Las Vegas for providing us with the butternuts. We want to give a shout out to the Dudes Brewing Company. Who gave us that?
This would be the Dudes.
The Dudes gave us that, yes, at the Beer Fest. We want to give a shout out to Lock and Low for providing the Tank 7 from Boulevard. Give a shout out to our friends at 101 North. for providing the stigmata.
And then I got this one.
And then shout out to Key for picking up this capacity.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give a huge shout out to Frank for actually randomly grabbing these beers out of our big ass fucking refrigerators of beer. Now, if you guys want to find out what does this set look like fully, head over to obsbeers.com, check out our bulletin board. And there actually is a full length video about 3 minutes long that we did of the car garage where we're filming. And you actually see the Frank, and I'm the one holding the camera, and we kind of show you all the fridges and whatnot. Also, we want to say please continue supporting us, watching us on the show. We can't do this without you guys, without the downloads and the love and the comments and all that good stuff, guys. We do our best to respond. If you guys have any questions, show ideas, email me Key at obsbeers.com, or Frank
at obsbeers.com.
That would also be spelled as Key obsbeers.com.
No,
for the Frank.
It's not
F-R-A-N-K.
Fair enough.
OBS Beers. It might be blind.
Send me an email anyway, guys. I'm lonely. Send me an email.
He's married.
I'm married, yeah, but that doesn't matter.
This is true.
I'd like to correspond.
So there are three things that we're going to leave you guys now with the show. There are three passages, and we're going to work on our Ten Commandments at some point. The first passage is open bottle, open palate. Our second one is may the beer be with you and your bottle be filled with beer. And the last one is world famous. It's, hey, beer is what we have in common.
What's your beer story?
And we'll catch you guys later. Thanks again, guys. Bye, buckers.
Much love.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.